You think you got any thug in you?
A story that was a billion years in the making of a boy, a girl, and a universe. One of the most dazzling entertainments of all time.
The Film Thugs.
Next.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic. It lives to kill. A mindless eating machine. It will attack and devour anything. It is as if God created the devil and gave him jaws. This is Universal's extraordinary motion picture version of Peter Benchley's best-selling novel, Jaws.
I just found out that a girl got killed here last week, and you knew it. You knew there was a shark out there. You knew it was dangerous, but you let people go swimming anyway.
It's all psychological. You yell barracuda. Everybody says, huh?
What?
You yell shark. We've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
Is it true that most people get attacked by sharks in 3 feet of water, about 10 feet from the beach?
Yeah.
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine, an eating machine.
We're not only going to have to close the beach, we're going to have to hire somebody to kill the shark.
Bad fish. But I'll catch him and kill him.
Did you hear your father? Out in the water now!
The shark, swallow you whole.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
That's a 20-footer.
25. 3 tons of them.
Hurry up, he's coming straight for us. Don't screw
it up now. Don't wait for me. Now! Shoot!
What's
the deal? Give him room!
I can't! He's trying to run! Oh!
Cut it quick! I can't hold it! Hurry!
None of man's fantasies of evil can compare with the reality of Jaws. Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw, Richard Dreyfuss, Jaws. See it before you go swimming.
Why not?
Oh.
What do you want? No, keep going.
I was
riff, baby, riff.
Pam. Talk you to the box. And this picture's where they put it in. I can't remember what the Family Guy thing was. I had downloaded Danzig 3 again, and was transported back in time to an angrier version of myself.
That is a really good record.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's fucking Heart. Heart of the Devil.
Yeah.
Stop now.
Wow.
Man, welcome to an hour of us imitating. Welcome to the Film Thugs Danzig Imitation Hour.
Thank you!
Yeah, like, we have like 4 minutes of that before we started the show right now. Let me just throw some of that shit on at the end. Welcome to it.
Big fan.
Yes. So, our last show, we looked at this year's summer movies. Now we're just going to jump back to the beginning.
Yeah.
How does that sound? We're gonna go ahead and just jump into it and say, fuck it, let's roll with the new, yo. I was born about the time that the idea of the summer movie was.
I was born
a poor black child.
All right.
Yeah.
I was born under a bad sign, son.
That's right.
So. Let's talk about what life was like before the summer blockbusters. It's kind of an awesome time. It was, movies were made a little more based off of story, directing, things like that seemed to matter. I mean, I'm not going to say it was some glorious heyday of creative stuff. There was a lot of shit.
Sure, always has been.
Charles Ramirez Berg, my Guardo Camino of the film world, he was the one who says over and over again, people say movies were so much better back then. Okay, go ahead and find the newspaper from the week you were born. Mm-hmm. Look at movie show times. There will be maybe one film that you will have heard of.
Right.
The rest of them were just cycled in and out, throwing away garbage. Right now, we're just noticing it because of the massive amount of films that are getting shoved down our throats. I mean, we're talking 60 movies released over a 3-month period.
Right.
And that's
a lot.
That's a damn lot. That is a damn lot of movies. And, unfortunately, the man who started it all is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And if we had to blame anyone, it would be a young filmmaker by the name of Steven Spielberg. Now,
Señor Spielbergo.
El Diablo. The way it used to work, this is a long time ago, the idea of release was so different from what it is now. It was limited regional releases. It would show for 2 weeks in New York, 2 weeks in Chicago, held over for an additional week. You'd hear shit like
plays.
That. Yeah. It's, wow. You know, and these were special features. It'd play somewhere for a while. A movie could have been out for 3 months before you got the first run of it.
Yeah.
You know, and it would just show up like some shitty little Rialto theater in, downtown Refurio?
Yeah, they had one.
Yes, yeah. And it would just pop up, and you'd get something for a little while, then move on, and you'd get some stepped on.
Where else could you see Night of the Lepus?
God. Well, and you'd get some stepped on, fucked up print that had been cut to shit because it had been played in 17 different places for a while, and it kept rolling. The idea of an opening weekend? No.
No.
It happened all over the place. Then someone had an idea and said, you know what? It's hot out in the summer. Maybe if we came up with something, let's find us a bestseller, and we'll find a way of doing something totally revolutionary. And the person who thought this up, now it's so common. But at the time, people had to be looking at him like, "The fuck are you doing, man? You're messing with everyone's shit." Someone said, "Let's release a movie in every city on the same day." Huh? Yeah, on a Friday we will launch a film everywhere. But it's got to be something that appeals to everyone. It's got to have these elements, this, blah, blah, blah. And Jaws hits the world. And Jaws hits the world fucking hard.
Oh, yeah.
And it blew people's minds. I mean, I can't remember what it was like when it came out because I was born August 29th, 1975.
Right.
And that was, I don't even know when it, well, it was released June 20th. So it was already starting to fade by the time I made my entree, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's tough for me to really comment on it because I don't remember much from those first few weeks. It was a rough time. You know, I had to move twice.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of eating.
Yeah, a lot of eating.
Sleeping takes up a great deal of your time.
And learning how to poop and pee, I mean, that's
sure
not to be underestimated. My nephew CJ is doing that right now, and it takes it out of the kid.
Sure, literally. You know,
footy pajamas. Beautiful. I miss that, man. Footy pajamas.
Mine
they don't
field.
Make that shit in my... Yeah, well.
Whatever.
It's a mine shaft, son.
It's a mine land.
But no, Jaws changed everything.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it... Hollywood is an odd place. It takes a little while. Then when it connects, it's like, fuck yeah. And then it just...
Oh, yeah, then it beat the hell out of it.
Yeah, it gets more and more and more and more. Hollywood is... It's a little crack fiend. It does it once, like, oh, damn, I got to get some more. Oh, I got to... And then anything you get to get more and 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 more, it does
it. Oh, yeah.
Now, Jaws... Had it been any movie other than Jaws, I don't think this would have worked because Jaws was such... Well, there's only one other movie that would have done this. That's Star Wars.
Yeah.
But even then, Star Wars didn't immediately
explode. No, it
explode.
Took some... It took some word of mouth to really get that thing going. Yeah. But it did. But
right.
From the strength of the movie.
Could you imagine being first
But you can't just wrap your head around that immediately, especially in those days. Mm-hmm. Hey, space opera, come and see it. No, I don't think I will. But Jaws, you kind of...
Jaws, there's some... Right. I mean, there's an image, there's that music. I mean, it's scary as hell.
The opening scene's still scary as hell.
The Draft House does the most... this the first rolling road show the Draft House ever did is evil. For those who don't know, the Alamo Draft House said, we've done enough being awesome in the theater. What we're going to do is take shit out. We're going to show, like, we'll watch... I saw the premiere of Texas Chainsaw Massacre at, like, an old... state prison mental hospital on the grounds. That adds to it.
Sure.
You know, they'll do road races and shit like that. But the first one they ever did, it's this giant inflatable movie screen, so it floats. So they took it out to Town Lake in Austin, floated the screen, showed Jaws, and you got to watch Jaws while floating in inner tubes. And they had scuba divers who would fuck with you during the movie. That, to me, ranks up there with sound sync. For the most brilliant idea in movie presentation ever heard.
Really good.
I mean, gimmicks, I'm not down with. That is not a gimmick. That is inspired.
Yeah.
Mm. So Jaws, because of the strength of the terror and everything, and it's accidental.
Yeah.
The movie's so effective because they couldn't get the fucking shark to work. Had they had their ways, you would have seen that shark immediately.
Yeah.
And then the editor. Oh, Spielberg loves the editor because she's like, it doesn't look good, so we're just going to wait to show it.
Yeah.
And God, just chills every time. And the first time Roy Scheider really sees it on the beach, when he sees that shit happen, they do the Hitchcock zoom.
Yeah.
The fact that even then, you don't really see it. You see it the way you would see it if it was there. Like, what the fuck just happened out there?
Right.
Like, what just happened?
Or, like, in the boat, where he's just...
Oh, when he's...
All of a sudden, boom!
Boom, there it is, and... That's how I would...
Bloody terrifying. And how it would happen in nature, with a regular shark.
Obviously. I would run and just... I would find the part of the boat that was furthest away from water, and just be there hugging it, like... Mm-mm.
Yes.
It would be the Ghost Adventures thing. Get out. Okay!
Flying sharks. Now you're fucked.
Yeah. Lions that can talk.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You've seen the Wolfpocalypse video, right? Yes. They figured out a way to get into the ventilation system. Like, shit. But Jaws opened it. And it's weird because it wasn't until 2 years later, in 77, that little Georgie Lucas, Mr. Beard, came out with a little film called Star Wars. Which, could you imagine, for even a minute, what it would have been like... Friday morning, first showing of Star Wars in an auditorium full of people who were like, that sounds interesting. Seeing it, who'd never even thought on this movie before, who had no, I mean, and sit there knowing what you're seeing and watching everyone going, what?
Yeah.
How incredible.
And everyone collectively at the same time saying, that's the coolest weapon ever.
Yep.
All at the same time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know anyone... The first time they saw that, didn't think that was cool. Yeah. And I don't
want to
know him.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah. When he flicks on that blue lightsaber, it's like, huh?
That's badass.
That's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Still badass.
And it really, that, to be there for that, because now, especially, you and I have talked about it back when Led Zeppelin was just a band.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine back when Star Wars...
It's just a movie.
Before it even had Episode 4, A New Hope on it, when Star Wars was just...
The Star Wars.
Yeah, that's it. And to sit there in the theater and watch everyone get their collective asses whipped.
Oh, yeah.
And then see it roll out everywhere. I mean, that... And it was...
critics went nuts. The fans were crazy. I mean, it was something that really set the stage for what was to come in a lot of ways. Because from there, I mean, the summer movie, there wasn't another really huge one until Hollywood discovered, you know what's better than airing a really awesome original movie? How about a sequel?
Yeah.
And I don't accept trilogy on most of the movies that have trilogy attached to it. To me, a trilogy does not happen, it is not imagined after the first movie's made. A trilogy has to be fleshed out somehow, at least fundamentally, before the first film.
Yeah.
Three movies are not a trilogy. Austin Powers is not a trilogy.
Right, yeah.
It has to be one thing that leads into say it should work as an individual film. Lord of the Rings, trilogy. Star Wars, trilogy. Yeah. Godfather, not a trilogy.
Nobody, it was yeah. not.
I mean, one and two kind of work together.
Yeah.
But to me, for it to really work that way, it's got to be a story that continues through. And Empire Strikes Back was just, wow.
Oh, that's, yeah. that's where I came into the picture.
Yeah. I mean, you and I, when that came out, we were three. My parents actually joke, when I was a little kid, I was two when Star Wars came out. And they said that everyone knew about it. And I always talked about wanting to see Tall Wars. Because I couldn't fucking talk, but I knew what it was.
I could pronounce S's.
Yeah, Tall Wars. And then Empire Strikes Back, I was, you know, I was five, you were four. And that shit came out, it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, we gotta be there. And as a kid, the thing is, we're at five and four, and I mean, when Jedi came out, we were both, what, like, that, Jedi was, holy crap, why can't I remember what year Jedi came out? I'm looking through a list to find where it popped up here. And it actually came out
screaming right now.
82. I believe. Hmm. No? Shit. Oh, Final Chapter came out in 1983.
Okay.
So you and I were both...
Eight, oh, I, you know, I remember getting Star Wars Return of the Jedi toys for Christmas.
Yeah.
Like I got the fucking Ewok village or something. A little tree house thing.
Well, and as a kid, this is something that when you get older, Episode 2, when you're 5, okay, that was cool. Yeah. Then when you're, you know, 7, 8.
That's a sweet spot.
Yeah.
7 and 8 for that kind of
and
stuff.
And when Jedi comes out and you're 7 and 8, if you're not losing your mind over this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I've lost my mind.
Then you get older and you watch it, you're like, okay, Empire is better than Jedi.
Yeah.
But when you're a kid, the first time you see it, I still remember going to this auditorium in the San Francisco Bay Area with my cousins Dan and Ron. And all I remember was it was like a dome theater. And I remember going, they were like, yeah, we'll take Jimmy and Julie to go see... Return of the Jedi, and I was losing my mind. I was like, oh my god, we're finally gonna know.
Yeah.
Oh! And yeah, I fucking lost it over that. But if anyone says, oh, the first time I saw it, I knew Empire was better than Jedi, unless you were older, bullshit.
I didn't know anything was better. Yeah. All I knew was that Luke was a badass, and Elijah was green. Yeah. And
all of a sudden, Luke arrives as this badass, and the most massive plot hole in movie history is opened, because apparently it takes like 2 days to be trained to be a Jedi.
Right.
Because that's how long he was there. 2 days. Or three, maybe.
4 days.
Yeah, maybe a week. Who knows? But...
don't know.
Unless travel time is much less than
maybe
space.
It was longer than that.
Maybe they hung out for a month inside that pit on the asteroid.
I don't know.
Who knows? But these were the ones that set up that idea of the formula that you could hash out again. But
yeah.
In there, 1981 came the movie that, to me, just, if you don't like this movie, you're an asshole. I can understand not getting into Star Wars. It's sci-fi. Not a lot of people like that.
Right.
No, no. There are people who dislike sci-fi. My parents don't like it. No. Parents couldn't be fucking bothered. My parents will watch fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I didn't even have a choice. Of course, I wanted to see it. Uh-huh. Had I not wanted to see it for some reason, I got hit in the head with a brick or what have you.
Yeah.
I was being picked up by my shoulders and being thrown into a truck by my dad.
Right on.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Every one of them. My dad was like, oh, we're seeing that. I wanted to see it anyway.
Yeah.
But it was like Bond movies. It was like, Bond movie was out, I was with my dad to see it.
Right.
If it was Raiders movie, we were there.
My dad wasn't so much like that.
Instantly.
Until Last Crusade, we went and saw. Temple of Doom had all that weird hoopla about the invention of PG-13 and blah, blah, blah. But and down in Panama, it was tough to get into these movies. You want to talk about standing in line? I remember standing in line for like an hour and a half to get in to see Ghostbusters, sitting in an absolutely packed theater in the back, and it was fucking subtitled because it was shown in Panama, so we got a subtitled print of it. But it was hard. Ghostbusters, Goonies, all those things were tough to get into. So my parents didn't really bother because, like, Raiders was packed. Raiders, the Temple of Doom was packed. But Raiders was one I don't remember seeing in the theater, but it's one of those movies that I'm constantly... I can't think of a time when I was unaware of it.
Exactly.
You know, it comes out when
It's been a part of my life.
Old. Yeah.
Forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's indie. To me...
Still the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Last Crusade is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, dude, I just watched Raiders 2 months ago or something, or maybe longer. And it was
the beginning of it is so...
Yeah.
I mean, the beginning of it, it just knocks you on your ass, even as a kid. You don't see him. You're not sure what he's doing. Yeah. Then you get the fucking boulder rolling, and it's...
Ah, it's great.
Oh.
But they're all good. And the cool thing about Temple of Doom was... My childhood best friend was a guy named Anand Bhakta.
Anand Kumbh, yes.
And his parents were from Bombay at the time, now Mumbai. Mm-hmm. But he was first generation. Not even, he was born in India and came over here. But the cool thing about Temple of Doom, everyone says, oh, Temple of Doom's not that good. Well, not for y'all, but for me, he was badass because he could get his dad, his grandfather, to do like lines to the movie, bring back to us, bring back to us. That was hilarious. And Anand and I would just sit there and laugh, and he would do the impersonation.
Oh, that is class. So fucking cool.
You would find Simalinga? Oh, man. Hilarious. So to me, that's always
Well, I just remember being grossed out by the eating scene when I was a kid. Because
I remember that because my dad was laughing at me.
Yeah.
Chill monkey brains. I'm like, ugh. We ate that beetle?
Yeah.
Dad's laughing at me.
See, I'm an aphidophobe. I am a hard... Yeah. I'm like Indy. Snakes fuck my shit up.
Right.
So when they cut the big snake open and all the little snakes came out, I was like...
yeah.
Oh, God, no!
Yeah.
No. I just... lost my fucking mind. Like, you tell me stories about being out on a horse and, like, shooting snakes. I'm like...
Shoot shit. Hit it with a branch.
Fucking, I'm out somewhere. I see a snake. Like, you will see my fucking... Me and the horse's shape in dust.
It doesn't mean so I'm not scared of them. I'm terrified of them. But terrified when in Dudley Campbell's land was, I'm scared of it too. Kill it.
I love that. But yeah, so I connected. And now then, after that, actually, fuck, this is the weird part. June 12th, 1981, he comes out with Raiders. June 11th, 1982, E.T.
Yeah.
I know you're not a fan. I remember seeing E.T. for the first time. Oh, this friend of my sister's was talking about it and all this shit. Like, oh, it's this and that. And going to Ingram Park Mall Theater. And there was like this little 5-screen theater in the mall. And there were shitty little screens. And you had to go back. It was like running this weird gauntlet of greasy asshole teenagers to get to it, and I'm sitting there on a Friday night. This is back when I used to get dressed up to go to the movies. And I was sitting there, and by the end, I was almost in tears because when you're a little kid, that's how that movie affects you,
right?
Because it is Spielberg's early stuff. It's weird. There's this wonder to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even Indy, the first Indy is great because there is this just. Oh, you can tell Spielberg's not just making a movie. He's having fun. He's, you know, it's not business as usual. E.T. connected because it was like, I identified with everyone in it. Knew all these folks. It's weird because Henry Thomas was from San Antonio. My sister ended up knowing him pretty well at one point.
When he played at Taco Land?
Yes, when he played at Taco Land or would show up at Zoe's Coffee House when I'd have to park in the parking lot for the Selena Boutique to go have coffee and do poetry readings. And Henry Thomas's band, the Rain Dogs, would be playing there. And
good times.
Yeah, good times back in the day, man. But E.T. raised that bar where it's like you have to throw all of this shit in there. I mean, that image of the bicycle going across the moon, that holds up today.
That's still cool. I got no problem with that.
Yeah. It's, you know, I can see where your issue with the story lies.
Just a little lost, that's all.
Yeah, I understand. See, and then at 7, we were just getting into the world of the A-Team.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loved Rocky. So the fucking film god said, 7-year-olds of the world... Here, Rocky 3, and you got your collective ass kicked, at Clubber Lang, who fucking beats Rocky stupid, even when Rocky wins.
That was not fair, really, for a kid like me, or you, or whatever. Yeah. I mean, Rocky, my brother being 9 years, 9 years and change, we just call it 10.
Yeah.
Years older than me, of course, was huge into Rocky, and I got into Rocky, obviously. Yeah. But then we had Rocky, you know, hero. Then we had wrestling, hero. I just didn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah,
I had to be an annoying theater experience.
Yeah,
because I was just bouncing. Oh, my God, my God. Hulk Hogan over here, and Rocky over here. They're going to fight. Oh, my God. Of course, and only as a child could think, yep, that's it. Hulk's going to get him.
Yep.
Hulk's going to beat him. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the end of the movie.
See, I had a hard time wrapping my head around the idea of T as a bad guy. Because Mr. T, once he hit, was pushed so much into the super good guy, be good to your mom type world.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was all about the kids and all that shit. So seeing him as the bad guy is still weird to me.
I read one of Hulk Hogan's books talking about him taking Mr. T like to promote WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
It happened around the same time, you know, just right after that.
Mm-hmm.
And taking him to his school to meet Mr. T and Hulk Hogan.
Uh-huh.
Like, and he's doing the whole take your prayers.
Take prayers, vitamins.
Take your prayers and eat your prayers and whatever. Eat your vitamins, your prayers and say your vitamins. And it's like, yeah, all right, brother, you need to read and stay in school. And Mr. T comes out and goes, why y'all out of school? Y'all don't even just go and look at us. Look at Mr. T and Hulk Hogan, champion of the world. Y'all be in school. What are y'all doing here? That's stupid. Y'all gonna fail in your life. Just like... and Hulk Hogan go, Mr. T is kind of tired from beating up on Rocky. So kids, and like they had to like shuffle Mr. T off to get him a whatever he needed, and Terry had to go and shuffle and jive the kid. No, it's okay. Mr. T's just a little sad because blah, blah, blah. And he had to, you know, hey, brother, WrestleMania.
That's right, brother.
Hulkamania. Come on, Hulkamania.
That one plugged into, I think, everything so far as the summer movie goes, because it's a sequel that had popular shit from the time, threw in the song.
Yeah.
That's where Eye of the Tiger hit.
That's it.
And it had everything. I remember even getting a fucking Chipmunk record with them singing Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could not escape that shit. It's...
And it's tape. Survivor.
Yeah.
The rest of the tape was fine.
Yeah.
On that cassette.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was fine.
Yeah.
Except the first song.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been worn down.
Oh, yeah. Worn down to nothing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's like the Ghostbusters soundtrack. You only listen. Who are you going to call? Yeah, I am going to
stand-up came up with the idea that what if... like whoever recorded Ghostbusters, the Ghostbusters theme.
Ray Parker Jr.
Ray Parker Jr.
God.
What if he had done that before the movie? Before a movie ever existed.
Right.
I ain't afraid of no ghost. Just by itself.
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
Hilarious. Like, he would just sound like a crazy person.
Yeah. Even now, he kind of does.
Well,
but with that, like, that was so aimed for kids. The next two that I've got here that came out about that time... With the Road Warrior and Wrath of Khan.
Holy
were
hell,
not
man.
So much aimed for kids. That was definitely the counter.
Probably not. And way before parents knew better.
Yeah.
Especially my parents, so they're older. Like, oh, it's just about a guy on the road, Mom. Okay. He's fine. He's a good guy. And then sit me in front of the television and watch Road Warrior over and over again. Oh, man.
My parents?
Oh.
Early on, like, I was the first kid whose parents, like, they knew, like, oh, he knows the difference. Just whatever. They knew that I knew movies. They knew I knew that shit when I was a kid. So then I'm like, I want to watch this. Whatever.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I was the fourth kid of four. So at that point, they're like, is he burning anything?
No.
Okay, now let him watch this shit. Whatever the hell this is. Fighting over gasoline.
Yeah, like my dad took me to see DC Cab in the theater when my sister was having a slumber party.
Juanita, where's my flamethrower?
Like, there's boobs and Mr. T and... Cabs?
Bill Maher?
Yeah. It's got a cab in it. Right. What more do I want? But the Road Warrior was one I didn't see till a little later, just because, again, I mean, that was San Antonio at that time, tough to do. We had the cable box with the push buttons on it, and I was just trying to see animated boobs on heavy metal, so
I didn't even know what Mad Max was. All I knew was Road Warrior, and that was the first movie at that age. You know,
that hits.
And I watched the hell out of it.
Oh, I watched a lot of Wrath of Khan.
Oh, yeah.
And all that I remember from being a kid. Fucking earwig. Ear nightmares.
Yeah.
Oh, Montalban's white snake shirt didn't help. That was a fucking... That spaceship they were on, that base... That was a Whitesnake concert that just got pulled off the earth and stranded in space. Absolutely. And all they had with them was food and Aquanet.
Yeah.
And that's all they needed.
Yeah. And Slip of the Tongue.
Yeah. But Wrath of Khan, that to me still stands as the only Star Trek, other than the new one, movie that I go back and watch again.
It's the only one for being not a Trekkie,
yeah.
A Trekker, or whatever the hell you call yourselves.
Sorry, Aaron.
Yeah, wasn't. But yeah. Wrath of Khan I can watch now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas the others now, I've had Trekker fans who are like, no, the I can't remember what it's called. Mm-hmm. The one where they go back in time, it's with Picard or whatever, and they meet the guy who came up with the warp drive.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, I can't remember. But they really geek out about it. Like, oh, you'll really like this.
The one that has James Cromwell.
That's the
it.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the drunk that came up with
his first contact. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't really do it for me. Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. Well, also with that, they kind of seem to have too easy a time. Just we'll throw fucking time traveling for the fuck of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Wrath of Khan just rules.
Yeah, Wrath of Khan was the shit. The next year wasn't really a great one for summer movies, but there were only one or two that hit it. And that was some just running into the buzzsaw of Jedi. Because that summer, I think every movie studio knew, Jedi is hitting in May. That thing is going to be doing boffo box office all the way to mid-August.
Yeah.
That thing is going to dominate. But we did have, like, Risky Business, Trading Places, and War Games. Risky Business.
Oh.
I was too young to know why I liked that movie.
But, man, I did.
Yeah.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
That scene from the television. Still etched in my brain.
Yeah, that's one that I remember seeing on cable when my folks weren't around.
Exactly.
That was the on the sly. Like,
I would come in, my brother's watching it. Like, you go, Charlie, get out of there. I'm like, okay. Why? Well, I can't be there, so something good must be happening.
Yeah,
Absolutely. There was something good happening. I was right. I was right. And it was called Rebecca de Mornay.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Erotic
crystallization.
Summer movies do that to kids. I mean, we live in a time where we gain so much of our socialization from movies.
Oh, yeah.
That there's so much, like, there are kids who had that same realization of Megan Fox in Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
That their first instance of, whoa!
Yeah.
I feel uncomfortable came in that movie. Yeah. And hey, more power.
I felt like I was really getting away with something bad. Like the first time you see Porky's.
Mm-hmm. Because
that was such a big deal.
Uh-huh.
Like,
well, that's at the time, like, my sister and I thought we were so clever that we developed our nickname for Saturday Night Live. Because that came out the year I was born.
Right.
We called it Chopped Liver. And I don't know why, I don't know where the fuck it came from. Somehow that was our code word for it. Like, we're going to watch Chopped Liver. And my parents knew. They didn't really care because they're like, it's on network.
Right.
The fuck are they going to see? So we snuck out and watched Chopped Liver. And that's sort of what these movies were like for me. You look at, like, the next one, Trading Places.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis just...
there it is. Hello.
And then War Game. True Lies, she proves, I'm still there. Like, aw. But that's that... Movies do that. I mean, hell, there's always shit like that little kids sneak to. You know, the village boys trying to peek in to see the woman showering back in the day. To, you know, sneaking a laundry, the Sears catalog, whatever.
Sure.
You know, and we had these movies. But Trading Places, that was when Eddie Murphy hit so big.
Yeah.
And just, he stole the hell out of that movie.
He sure did. And still hilarious to this day.
He has my favorite reaction shot. The only breaking of the fourth wall... That I love.
Oh, yes.
He's like, pork bellies like you would find in bacon. Like you would use in a bacon and lettuce and tomato sandwich. And he just looks at the camera. And he doesn't indicate anything. The deadpan Buster Keaton look on his face was just...
and you kind of wanted him to.
Yeah, you kind of wanted
him to. You got to acknowledge me on that because I'm like, what? Yeah.
The only line that still stands out to me that I will lose my shit laughing every time. Beef jerky time.
Beef jerky time. My booty.
God, yeah, the Dan Aykroyd blackface.
Yeah.
Why not? It was an odd scene. And as a kid, that movie had a complex plot at the end.
And Senator Franken.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting the guy raped by a gorilla.
Just like he does today. Policy-wise.
But the... That's when, if you look back on it, that was something you saw because Eddie Murphy had those funny one-liners. But as kids, as a fucking kid in 1983, that plot, like, they're doing something about bananas? Or coffee? What?
Commodities?
I still don't understand the futures market. I don't know how the hell that works. And it did lead to that awesome cameo at the end of Coming to America.
Yeah.
Mortimer.
We're back.
I'm still not talking to you.
Yeah.
We're back.
Yeah.
Sweet. But that's when, and in that time, though, the one that, as the kid that age, that you were able to understand somewhat was War Games.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, thanks to Netflix Instant, I watched some of War Games, too.
Oh, yeah.
Blithering fucking nonsense. Like, it's one of those movies that I got 30, 45 minutes into and said, well, that's that.
Yeah.
And stopped watching it. Like, the only movie that I had that feeling with recently was one that this guy was in middle school with. I went to middle school with. Is in it. He pops up on, he was like on the new Melrose Place and shit like that. Mm. Guy's like 4 feet tall. No, not 4 feet. He's not a very tall guy. Good looking dude. Cut and all that. But it's a movie called Rockaway Beach that I was just, this is awful, but he's not bad. So I'll watch to support this guy. I'll watch an instant view to support some guy that I haven't seen since 1990.
I'm on somehow. Your side.
Good for you. You've got my seal of approval. But War Games, talk about freaking out. First off, it's got the guy who whips ass at Galaga, who hacks the school computer to change his grades, and then hacks NORAD.
Whoops.
Because that's where, what's his name? Eddie Izzard. It's so funny when you're talking about, there's always a back door that they leave to be able to get into. It's like, ooh, password, Jeff. Good, we're in. Like, all right. The computer was designed by Jeff Jeffson. He was born on the 19th of Jeff, 19 Jeffity Jeff. Like, right. And how the whole Joshua thing and the weird relationship with the computer and the idea of wanting to get in to play the awesome games. And I remember 1983 video games. They were not awesome. We thought they were.
Well, yeah. You know, I thought Pong was awesome.
Well, yeah. Well, Pong was awesome, and I won't have you.
Yeah, that console had wood paneling, Jack.
Yeah. I remember having Atari and being the first people to get the fancy joysticks with the button on top because my dad played Donkey Kong.
One of those.
And threw the controllers at the screen when he died and broke them all. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You've seen how I react to things that displease me.
Sure.
So that's not even slightly surprising. Like, no! Bam! Well, we can't play video games. I'll buy you a new one. Okay. Fine, Dad. Thank you. But no, War Games, and in the end, that had the coolest ending with computers. But that really brought so much of the technology into it. It was like, you don't have to go space age. You just have to throw cool technology and young people and make it exciting and folks will go.
Yeah.
And put Peter Coyote in there. And,
always Peter Coyote.
Yeah, always Coyote. Never forget that. And that I remember well because it was the last summer that I spent in San Antonio for a while. Because that was the year that my old man got himself transferred to Panama and I moved to Albrook Air Force Base. And the rest of my film going, like film education, was off of the massive amount of films that I saw there. Because that's the age where you see shit. I mean, I moved there in 1984. I was 9. Came back when I was 12. That's a wheelbox right there. And when you look at 1984, what comes out? Ghostbusters, Temple of Doom, Gremlins, Star Trek 3, Karate Kid, Red Dawn, Bachelor Party, Neverending Story, Top Secret, Conan the Destroyer. Huh?
Yeah.
That was the first summer that studios said, everything.
Yeah.
Feed my pretties. Yeah. And you have to go Ghostbusters first off in this because of all these movies. And there's a lot of good shit here. Ghostbusters to me, absolute top.
I have seen Ghostbusters into three digits.
Yeah.
easily.
There was a time, I think I saw it in a theater three times.
Yeah.
How I conned my parents, because they wouldn't shut up about it.
Yeah.
Running around with half a water hose and a backpack in my house with a stick, busting ghosts.
Nice.
As you do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when it finally came out on tape,
yeah,
or cable or whatever, I just remember watching it all the time.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All the time. I can quote that movie from beginning to end.
The great moments from that are the little things that you pick up from it. And this is what a summer movie should be. It's got a good story. It's genuinely funny. It's got cool effects. It brings you in. And years later, I remember sitting somewhere with Brian. Guy I work with, Brian. Hilarious dude. We got to bring him in sometime on a show.
Okay.
He's drunk, I think. And I said something. He picked up a bottle cap and he goes like this. No. You've earned this. Hands me a fucking beer, a beer bottle cap. I was like, God damn, man, that was awesome.
Yeah.
No.
You've earned this.
It was like, God, ugh. Everything in it. Well, the thing that really stands out to me is, what the fuck was Ernest Zadamore doing there? Like, PhD, PhD, and Sarah, I just need a job, Jack. Like, okay.
Yeah. As long as there's steady paycheck in it, I'll believe in anything you want.
The best of, more like, well, considering each one of us has an unlicensed nuclear accelerator on their back. And at the time, when I kind of knew who Bill Murray was from Chopped Liver,
yeah,
sort of knew Dan Aykroyd from Chopped Liver, I had no clue who Harold Ramis was.
No, me neither.
No idea who Bill Atherton was, no idea who Sigourney Weaver was.
But I got to know who Sigourney Weaver was. Oh, man.
Oh, boy, howdy. The Ghostbusters was the movie. Gremlins and Ghostbusters were the two that everyone was just crapping themselves about seeing. What's weird is Gremlins was a summer movie that was set at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
And my Gremlins enjoyment got overshadowed by, I remember watching Gremlins. I remember liking the Gremlins a lot.
Uh-huh.
And thinking, awesome, I want to watch Ghostbusters again.
Yes, yeah.
Not taking anything away from Gremlins at all.
I remember in Panama, all the houses were like on stilts. Mm-hmm. Because apparently when you live in an area like that, there's a chance at flooding. But all the houses were on these stilts, and there was a carport underneath. And everyone would have, every once in a while, somebody have a dance over at their house in the carport. And boy, when the DJ would bust out Ghostbusters, oh man, people would lose their fucking minds. It was so great. But Ghostbusters, that was the first movie that I connected to in that level where it was like, this is made for me forever.
Yeah.
And because there's not much adult happening in there. It's all right in our wheelhouse,
yeah,
you know?
Pretty much.
Temple of Doom, like I said, I never really got to see it. My folks, I didn't get a chance to, and that snake scene made me vomit in my nightmares forever. Search for Spock. That was just a weird one, you know? Because it was almost existentialist at points where he's growing back. And I remember seeing it, and it had to do with terraforming and shit.
Something.
I think. And kind of, all right, whatever. Karate Kid. Is there anything we really have left to say about Karate
Not
Kid?
Not really.
No, so Red Dawn. Now that was one. Yeah, that was one that freaked me the fuck out when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And that tapped into something else where it was like, let's pull modern ideas and really go zeitgeisty at the time here of what would happen if your worst nightmares came true. And boy.
Hard for people that didn't grow up with the Red Scare or whatever, but
because we grew up in
the heart of it, and that was, for all we knew at the time, real.
Yeah, that was totally,
that could happen.
Well, I didn't just grow up in the heart of it. I grew up on a fucking military base. I grew up on an Air Force base that shared a gate with an Army base in the middle of all that.
Henry Silva's gonna come.
So I was right in the middle of just, oh my God, everything is gonna go to hell. That really jacked with me. But you look back on it now, and it is a solid action film.
Oh, yeah.
That still stands the test of time.
Written by Milius? Milius?
I think
Milius,
so.
Same guy that wrote Conan.
Yeah, which came out at the same time.
Oh, that was another one.
I've only seen that once or twice.
Conan the Barbarian, dude. Yeah.
You know that very well.
Wow.
So, yeah.
For a little kid running around who always liked swords and shit. Oh, God, that was just the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Right.
I just watched the shit out of that. That was like, okay, Ghostbusters, and then this thing happened. Like, right in the heart of, like, when you're a little kid and He-Man was real big, right, and so right. It was like, He-Man, Shmee-Man, look at this fucking guy.
Yeah.
That really hot blonde chick. And,
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Big snake guy. Crazy. See, shit.
That led into, well, this is one that I just re-saw recently that they tried to push fantasy a lot at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, and that's when Neverending Story came out.
Yeah, that's where, yeah.
That was the same year. And I remember as a kid being like, oh, okay. The Nothing was a bit more...
Well, Neverending Story.
Only thing that doesn't make sense to me is Gerald McCraney's character in that movie would not be married to a guy, to a chick named Moonchild.
Yeah.
That just didn't make sense. Yeah, cool enough. And I know a lot of people who love that movie.
I know that a lot of people loved it. And I, as a kid, I remember getting into certain parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
Strangely enough,
yeah,
I got into the giant wolf,
yeah,
and this Nothing thing,
yes,
that was gonna rid this universe of that annoying jackass, his horse, and a fucking empress bitch.
Stupid horse.
Say my name. Say my name, Bastion.
Shut up. the stupid horse. Atreyu.
No, yeah. Artax.
Artax. Oh, Artax and Atreyu.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it like once or twice when it first came out and just sort of forgot about it.
No, I saw it fucking 30 times probably, just looking at the TV screen like, God damn, I hate this little bastard. See, why did he just eat him, big wolf? Eat him! Hoping somehow in my little brain that, all right, this time
he's going to
get
eaten.
This time he's not going to be taken out by a piece of sharp shale.
See, speaking of a movie that I have seen a bunch, Top Secret.
Oh, dude.
Val Kilmer's first movie. He nailed it on. Even back then, there was shit in it that I knew was funnier than I realized at 9. Maternity.
Ah.
Oh. Now that's not so funny.
No.
At the time, it was. Now I look back on it going, I've done that. Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't even know what the guy said. But he said, make sure they leave no marks. Ich liebe dich, mein Schatz. I didn't know what that meant, but I laughed my ass off. It's funnier now that I do know what it means. But, oh, man, just laughed my ass off. Still do.
Oh,
the singing horse?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
The whole backward scene?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Peter Cushing.
The underwater saloon fight. It just, that was the Zucker Brothers... In their post-airplane, just do it.
Yeah.
Don't care, just do it. You know, when he's crawling along, he comes up to the boots, and it's just boots.
Yeah.
This was a great summer for comedy, if you look at it. Just with those two movies alone. Throw in Gremlins, even though they got weird with the whole my daddy was trying to climb down the chimney as Santa Claus and broke his neck and we didn't know until weeks later when we smelled it.
Thank you, Joe Dante.
That is a bit heavy for a movie about little teddy bears that turn into monsters.
Yeah.
That came out of fucking nowhere. But that, actually, the movie that I associate with my childhood the most, Back to the Future.
Right.
Came out the next year, 85. And until I watched it with you that one time, where I'm sitting there nailing, like, oh, this happens here, blah, 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 and I'm just rattling off everything. You're like, fuck, man. How many times have you seen this movie? I'm like, a lot more than I thought, apparently.
That's one of those things that I really liked. I saw it a bunch.
Uh-huh.
But never liked it as much. I mean, I liked it.
Yeah.
Plenty. But. Uh-huh. Everyone else seemed to like it just a little bit more than I did. And it's still the case.
Yeah.
I've never even seen the third one, so that gives you an
idea.
Which
I think you did.
I just never have.
Yeah.
But, you know, the first one was great, but everyone seemed to like it just a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, and that was me, because, well, remember, in Panama, it was where I'd get shit months after it was cool in the States, and then you'd get it in one theater in the country.
Right.
And you'd go and, you know, wait in line, get in to see it, and just... get your mind blown. I mean, it was hitting theaters about the time it was hitting video in the U.S.
Right.
So that was just such a huge deal for me. And that combined so much of the summer movie elements. It had the established star, sci-fi genre, that cool romance, but not really. And the fact that the ticking clock was such a huge part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first movie that really taught you what urgency meant when you were a kid growing up. Like, oh my God, if he doesn't get that car to start... He's not going to get there in time. If Doc doesn't have those connected, then he's not going to get the 1.21 gigawatts, and it's going to... oh, my God. And the cool ideas of changing the past a little bit, even though, if you think about it, Marty comes back with a head full of knowledge of shit that never happened and a personality that's going to be vastly different than everyone's around him. So it's going to be weird.
Yeah. But it does manifest into a new pickup.
It does. It does. A fancy new pickup.
That's right.
And his girlfriend changes from some broad to Elizabeth Shue.
Which, awesome.
Is an upgrade. No matter, no offense to some broad, but
right.
You're not Elizabeth Shue, and you right. never will be. But that typified, like, to me, what a summer movie was, even before I knew what a summer movie was. It's got some deep ideas in it, but all that is giving consequence to actions so that everything feels like it means something, and you're getting that growth. And even though I didn't know what rape was, that was the creepiest rape scene. Like, not the creepiest, but that was the oddest rape scene, almost rape scene to have in a family movie there. Get out of here, boys. This ain't no free shit. He's going to do something awful here, isn't he? The rest of that summer had some shit I don't really care about, except for, Return to Oz. Which, let's make a sequel 50 years after the fact, and people will love it.
Ready to blow your mind?
Yeah.
First time I saw Wizard of Oz, I was 24 years old.
That's weird.
I mean, I was aware of it.
Really? Really?
I mean, to enough to when I was a little kid in Disney World, where they had the 3D Wicked Witch come out of the screen.
Uh-huh.
Fucked me up.
Oh, dude, the flying monkeys made just terrible. I couldn't watch it for the
whole
time.
But I never watched the movie from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
Until I was 24. Like, oh, hey, that house landed on her sister?
Yeah.
Fucking Dorothy, I'd be mad too.
Yeah. She might be wicked, but she's justifiably upset.
Yeah. Fucking throw a house at my sister, I'm after your ass too, and your little dog.
Oh, man. That was a year that saw some bad shit happen, so in the form of Godzilla and A View to a Kill.
Oh, yeah.
The only good thing about A View to a Kill was the theme song. It was the Duran Duran, which wasn't bad. But that was the sequeling, remake, just trying to cram shit down our throats, thinking, people know Godzilla, they'll want to see this. People know A View to a Kill, they know Bond, we'll put anything out. People know European Vacation, they like Vacation, we'll put that out. European Vacation was okay, but definitely the second half of that movie was tacked the fuck on. The whole, someone was robbing an American Express, and somehow the Griswolds are now involved in that. Yeah. That didn't make any sense. Black Cauldron, never really saw, didn't appeal to me. Look at this. Sequel. We had Return to Oz, European Vacation, View to a Kill, Godzilla remake, Red Sonja.
Oh, yeah.
Which I never... That just looked silly. I saw Wilt Chamberlain was in it. It was like,
I didn't see it in the theater, but I remember... like, wait a minute. Conan's in it, but he's not Conan?
Yeah.
He's not? Wait a minute.
What the fuck? What's it?
God, she's pretty.
Yes, she is. And then she got kind of weird and blousy.
Then
we hit Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Awesome.
Which, as a kid, I thought I got it. No. Watch that later. There's so much shit going on in there
with AWA's own Silo Sam as the waitress's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
A gigantic professional wrestler who wasn't very good at it.
I say we let him go.
Yeah.
No. I say you give him to me. That was an interesting summer, because, I mean, Back to the Future, that was one where I think Back to the Future kind of had enough call ahead of time that the studios were like, we can't do shit about this. We're going to fucking let this go.
Yeah.
They're like, walk away. Pretend like this didn't happen.
Right.
Now, the next one, we actually had some weird action movies come out at the same time as some awful sequels and a couple of badass films.
By weird action, you mean awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Raw Deal. Only thing I remember from that was, you should never drink and bake. And then the most massive explosion ever to cover it up. I'm going to blow up an oil refinery.
The entire thing. Good stuff.
And of course, Marion Cabretti.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And a movie, I have the best ever seeing a movie for the first time story about Top Gun. Beats everyone's cold. First time I saw Top Gun, Howard Air Force Base movie theater, which attached to a Navy base. So I saw it in a theater that was half full of naval aviators and half full of Air Force pilots. who were laughing their asses off on one half of their brain and saying, this movie is going to get us so much action. Right. Oh, my God. Oh, we were
and
doing
the next
fine.
Day, everyone was wearing their hair wet.
Yeah. We were doing fine before, but yeah. Now.
Yeah.
Even though that volleyball scene still,
and
as a kid, I was
that's
like.
That's the black eye on
as,
that
as
thing.
A kid, I was like, I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah,
right
I don't know why they're doing that.
Yeah, there's a lot of
slow. Okay, that's over. Great movie.
This is sort of like the scene in Rocky III where they're running down the beach and we got the slow-mo shots of the thighs. What the hell is going on here? Tony Scott working some shit out. It was still fun. I mean, that was an awesome fucking movie. As a kid. Now you look at it and go, But as a kid,
it's still pretty good, only because of its callback to my youth.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I don't know if I saw it.
That's one of those things that if you saw Fresh now, you'd be like, what?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Like,
but
this is Days of Thunder with a plane.
Yeah, but, man, at the time, the video game that came out was so damn hard for me to play.
Oh, yeah, because you couldn't land on the carrier.
No, I'd always crash.
Yeah.
Left.
Yep.
Fucking. Trying to get my line in, you know, negative Ghost Rider. The pattern is full. Boom!
Yep.
Talk to me, Goose, the whole time. That's why I couldn't win the game. I was quoting it while I was playing.
I can understand that. Then the sequels, this is where the trend for sequels really started in a big way, I think. Poltergeist 2, Karate Kid 2, Friday the 13th, Part 6. Karate Kid 2, I rewatched recently. Hot goddamn mess.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's just, because it dispels all, no such thing as a bad student, only a bad teacher. Really? Because Sato's teacher was your dad.
Well, it's still true. He's just saying his dad was a bad
teacher. My dad's a bad teacher, apparently. Yeah, you follow. Oddly, in the remake, I'm going to just say this once, Jackie Chan speaks English better than Pat Morita did.
Yeah, well.
I might have said this earlier on the cast, I don't care. Yeah, Morita lived in the U.S. for 40 years. But anyway, those were just, how can we slap two on the end of something and get people to come in and see it? Like, this is, let's recite. This is the absolute fundament of recycled.
Yes.
And it was going up against three fairly original films that hit at the same time. Back to School, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and Ruthless People. Mm. Although Ruthless People had kind of gotten into some shit with an Elmore Leonard book called Freaky Deaky that had the exact same plot.
Right.
Didn't hold up as well as the movie did. I fucking love that, because it's basically the Ransom of Red Chief. Guy with a pain-in-the-ass wife, she gets kidnapped, he doesn't care.
Right.
It's really solid, enjoyable, funny. It's a Zucker Brothers film, but it's not their usual wackiness.
Right.
This hit those huge, like, people want to laugh. You want to come into out of theater. Here's a quick movie. You don't have to think a lot. You'll laugh your ass off. You want to come back and see it again. Rodney Dangerfield. That was when I was. That was about the rapping Rodney time when I was falling in love with that man.
Yeah.
And boom, there he was. You just had to get into it.
Hilarious.
It's fantastic. And Ferris Bueller's Day Off. There's not much more I can say about that other than that. That was fantastic.
Yeah, and Mia Sara.
Oh yeah,
man,
Mia Sara.
Woo,
gorgeous. The way she got ready when they came in. Me? God, that was. But then you also had the fun. This is an interesting. You had action. You had awful sequels. You had comedies for everyone. Then you had two movies for kids with Great Mouse Detective and Labyrinth.
Labyrinth in the theater.
Yeah. Great Mouse Detective in the theater. Then you had the kind of grown-up action-y stuff with The Fly and Aliens. Even though The Fly is not action-y.
No.
It's still, you had the grown-up
like
thing.
I said earlier, it's kind of, you know, Gina Davis giving birth to a maggot was weird. Growing up as a kid, it was absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, that's Cronenberg fucking with you.
Boy.
And Cameron showing what you
Aliens was absolutely melt your brain scary at that age.
Well, and the fact that he said, no, we're going to do a sequel. It's going to be like the original. No, it's not. We're going to make it as far removed from the original as you can get and enjoy. This was Cameron making a statement. This is I know how to make. I'll make the ass off a movie, and you just shut the fuck up and watch it.
Yeah,
that's your option is to shut your mouth and
watch
it.
That was one of those
it.
Things I had to wait to see and sneak around to see. It was like Terminator.
I saw it in the theater.
I didn't, and they're like, no, you can't see that. Like parents started to get wise by that. You know, enough got around about Terminator and Aliens to where it was no.
That was the sort of shit my parents were fine with.
But then. But that was only in the periphery because as soon as, you know, someone in the town had a birthday party,
yeah,
and
yeah.
the parents weren't paying. Those parents weren't paying attention. You know, hey, happy birthday! Eat the cake, open the presents, and all of a sudden, all the boys would disappear to one, you know, dark part of the house, and you were watching aliens run out of the room, going, oh, "What?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Terminator the same deal.
My favorite line ever about a movie is when these folks try and throw the feminist spin on Alien, the first one. Where it's like, oh, well, that goes with the male fear of being raped. Oh, that unique male fear that's so stupid. Like, sorry, yeah. The idea of having something shove a large phallus down your throat is unpleasant to anyone if you're not kind of into that. So this just, that adds such a freak out level to it.
Spits acid or yeah, bleeds out.
Fucking Geiger's nightmare come to right. life in your brain. See, here, this is where I remember the movies kind of growing up a little bit in a way. Well, at least one of them, Untouchables. I remember losing my mind over that yep. movie. Going and just... Dragnet, which was kind of smart in the way it did shit.
Oh, yeah.
Considering that these three remakes, Untouchables, Dragnet, Masters of the Universe, sequels came out, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, and The Living Daylights. You also had Dirty Dancing and Fatal Attraction. I love that, that those got grouped together somehow.
And if I may...
Yes, do your thing, man. This is... this
1987. I had seen plenty of movies before this.
And you and I think we're in the same boat with this
yeah,
thing.
But 1987, I call my cinematic baptism.
Uh-huh.
Because it was the kind of the first time where they would say, yeah, you can go see a movie
uh-huh.
kind of by yourself.
Right.
And my cousin Ed and I, he came down for the summer, and I remember seeing, like... Adventures of Babysitting and Beverly Hills Cop 2 and Dragnet all seemed like right next to each other
right.
almost.
Uh-huh.
And that summer, when I say summer, beginning in around May 20th, uh-huh. I saw these movies in a theater. Beverly Hills Cop 2, Predator, Witches of Eastwick, Roxanne, Spaceballs, Dragnet, Interspace, Adventures of Babysitting, Revenge of the Nerds Part 2, Nerds in Paradise,
yeah.
RoboCop, amazing. Summer yeah. School, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, not so amazing. My brother took me to see Lost Boys.
Oh, wow.
Because they, even my parents were like, I don't know about that. And he, his girlfriend at the time of high school, he took me to see Lost Boys. And that was awesome. Living right. Daylights with my dad. Master Universe that my mom took me to.
Wow.
Monster Squad, Can't
Love.
Buy Me Love.
Wow.
And that was it.
See, I've seen a lot of those in the... I saw a lot of those in the theater, but that was a weird time for me because that was the summer we came back from Panama.
Right.
So there was a lot of shit that I just, in the window, lost, but ended up getting to see. I remember moving it... like, we came back the weekend that Interspace opened. And I saw previews for that, and I was like, we're back and we're getting movies when they're new. Oh, this is going to be so great. And begging my mom to take me to see it. And we went, and God bless her. She had been moving. She'd been doing all. We got back in our house. Like, these kids had been using it as a part. Like, the folks who'd rented the house that we lived in had, one of them had kept the key and just loaned it out to folks to use as a party house.
Oh.
So we came back, and that night had to change every lock. There was all this shit. Like, we had stuff that was stored in these locked storage rooms that people had kind of, oh, bust the lock and fucked up. Like, all of my mom's slides from her childhood and
oh,
stuff.
And man.
We were getting all this stuff back together. I mean, it was fucking rough. But we got back. We got all our stuff together. And it, you know, that end of that week, I wanted to see this movie so bad. And so my mom took me to like 10 o'clock showing on Friday.
Right.
And was dead tired, falling asleep in the theater, but wanted to do that for me because right. it had been, you know, that's what I wanted to come back for. I loved movies so much. And I just remember loving everything about that
oh,
film
yeah.
and just laughing my ass off and just feeling so great. But most of these I saw, if not then, then immediately. I mean, that was about the time that I was old enough to ride my bike down to Sound Warehouse
yeah.
and rent Beta
yeah.
movies to bring home and watch on the Beta upstairs because we had two Betamaxes.
Right.
Because my dad's a psychic and can predict things that...
Sure.
Yeah. It was good technology. I stand yeah. by it.
But yeah, Dragnet, that was hilarious. It's still hilarious.
Oh, God, yeah. That, but if you look at all this shit here, you know, Untouchables, Dragnet, Master of the Universe, the Beverly Hills Cop 2, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace was just... Living Daylights was different, but I don't think it was as bad as everyone wants it to be.
I don't think it was bad at
no,
all.
I think it was very much the best of the... of the Dalton movies, which isn't saying a whole lot.
Yeah, but I thought it was great. My dad took me to see it, and we had a great time.
Yeah, I saw that on my birthday.
I was a little skeptical.
That was my first back first birthday movie when I came back.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing, didn't care about. I still haven't seen Fatal Attraction because I don't care to. Right. I don't want to know what happens when men are irresponsible. We live a consequence-free life, damn it. Spaceballs and Adventures in Babysitting, Elizabeth Shue, and it's fucking Mel Brooks. That movie, I still remember when, before IMDb or Easy Access to Filmographies, when they went through all the Mel Brooks movies, I remember pausing it and writing them down, and I saw every Mel Brooks movie based off that. You know, 12 Chairs, High Anxiety, all that shit.
And Spaceballs was like, no problem, because mom would rent Blazing Saddles for me and Iran. You know, go to the video store, I want this, I want something, and then Blazing Saddles.
Right.
And right next to Ghostbusters, I probably have seen Blazing Saddles almost as much.
Oh, yeah, well, how could you not? Now, the next year, 1988, look at what we have here. Die Hard, Roger Rabbit, Big, Willow, Poltergeist 3, Nightmare on Elm Street 4, Funny Farm, A Fish Called Wanda.
Awesome.
Now, a lot of these are crap. Nightmare on Elm Street 4, crap.
Yeah.
Red Heat came out. I still have not seen that all the way through.
Capitalism.
Yeah. I kind of dozed off. Never saw Poltergeist 3. Have not seen Willow all the way through.
Oh, yeah. Funny thing about Willow was...
Nothing? No,
I remember this distinctly. In the library of our house, you walk through a dining room area, and then you go to the big kitchen. Mm-hmm. There's a little television in the kitchen, and there's a big television in the library.
Uh-huh.
I'm walking from the library through the dining room thinking, George Lucas, you know, he did some cool stuff with space. I wonder if he would just do something like fantasy. Really?
Yeah.
This is a true story. I walked right to the kitchen. I was walking through the kitchen to the hallway.
Uh-huh.
The little television's on the left.
I remember this
and
from your house, yeah.
Right, I look over the television's on. A trailer for Willow comes on. And I stopped and had to kind of check my bearings. George, can you hear me?
Are you here, George?
Give me a lightsaber. Yeah, that was weird. And it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, but it was still... Every time I even think about Willow, I think of that weirdness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, let's look... I figure we got, like... Well, let's talk
about... Did he have anything to do with that? I don't even remember.
Yeah, he did. He was producer on it.
Okay,
he was producer. Die Hard. I remember hearing about Die Hard for so long, and I stand by that is the best action movie ever made and the most important action movie because you look at how often it's been copied.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many movies be in it? It's like Die Hard, but on in an outhouse.
It's like Die Hard, but in a bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, it was the first, because all these action movies had this Superman that never ran out of bullets and never got hurt.
Right.
And this was fucking Wile E. Coyote getting shit stomped and...
Without shoes.
Yeah, she's in the glass. She's in Finsta. She's in the Finsta. God, shoot the window. She's in the Finsta.
Shoot the glass.
Shoot the glass. Oh, you're one of them.
Damn, yeah.
Alan Rickman is a good enough actor to come off as a bad actor pretending to be an American.
That was one of those great things where, and Hollywood hasn't learned that lesson yet, but you don't have to be a well-known superhero to be the hero. And you don't have to have a super well-known guy to play the bad guy. Mm-hmm. They just have to be good at what they're doing.
Yeah, and everyone was saying...
And a good script, obviously.
Bruce Willis, the guy from Moonlighting. Remember, there was a time when people knew who Bruce Willis was and said, Bruce Willis in an action movie? I'm not buying it.
That would be like someone saying, hey, Ted Danson's going to be the next action hero.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
No, that's...
And of course he isn't.
Of course, yeah.
But at the time, he was the guy from Moonlighting.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the funny dude that, oh, that's...
Until that came out and then... Yeah, and then did not exist anymore.
He is the movie guy.
Yeah.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit, I think that was more love affair with technology.
Yeah.
Because that was such an explosion of cool technology
there.
I mean, I've only seen it like once and was okay with it. It's not anything I ever felt like
revisiting. Okay.
Except I do enjoy Jessica Rabbit.
Well, yeah.
Because that was the first thing that really screamingly let me know I was male. Like, that cartoon just stole my breaths.
Right.
Then Red Heat, like I said, I never really saw. I kept falling asleep when Schwarzenegger was beating up the guys in the towels out in the snow because that just seemed... Funny Farm, cool, but not anything. I mean, that had some great moments. Like the dog that just kept running.
Yeah.
The payphone.
Remember that being like, that's the girl from the hotter chick from Urban Cowboy.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes.
Hey, it's the hunter chick from Urban Cowboy.
Mm-hmm. It had some great moments. Yeah, poker buddies who decide to rob a bill. It was fun.
I've probably seen it twice in my entire
same
life.
Same here. Fish Called Wanda, on the other hand.
I've seen that all about 30 times.
That, the Adams called us out on this for the I'm the Asshole episode. What, one of the first things that you and I quoted on. Asshole!
Sure.
God, Kevin Kline. He could have never made another movie and I would have been happy. Thank God he did, because he's just good. But Otto, it means eight.
It means eight.
God, he was so good in that. And I just want to keep watching it over and over. I could still watch that right now.
Oh, yeah.
I could still be all over that.
The movie is so perfect.
All right. And now we're going to end with 1989, because I figure 89 to 90 would be a good place to stop part one.
Yeah.
So what we've got here is the one that really used... This is the one that fucking ruined it for me. As Batman, Tim Burton's. Not that it was a bad movie, but that was the one that saturate. We are going to hammer you to where you cannot escape this movie.
The saturation started well before the movie premiered.
Uh-huh.
To the point that I saw that with my friend Clifton.
Uh-huh.
We were both wearing Batman shirts. They weren't even like movie Batman shirts.
Yeah.
They were just Batman.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden showed up.
Mm-hmm.
We were wearing Batman t-shirts to see Batman.
Mm-hmm.
With Batman stuff.
Yeah, Batman squenchers, the Batman drinking bottles,
to
Batman
the point
t-shirts,
that my brother gave me that box of Batman cereal that I still have.
God damn. The soundtrack, they used the marketing on that, and Bat Dance, still the worst fucking song ever.
Yep. Didn't like it then, don't like it now.
Everything from that movie was just, you could not escape it.
Yeah.
And that, I think, that sets the trend that we're going to go into with the rest of these things. Everywhere. And, I mean, that was where Jack was brilliant. Like, I'll take a piece of the marketing instead. God, the amount of cash that he pulled off that is ridiculous. Yeah. So that dominated the summer, but you still had shit like Do the Right Thing, which isn't a typical summer movie, but it had to come out during the summer because that is such an integral part of it.
Sure.
Going more typical, you know, Parenthood, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, okay. Star Trek V, Ghostbusters 2, Karate Kid 3, and Friday the 13th 8, as well as License to Kill. A whole bunch of crap done got dropped on us.
Yeah.
At the same time. And License to Kill was not a good movie.
License to Kill...
Sanchez!
Yeah, at the time, of course my dad and I went to see it.
Yeah.
But it was... They're trying to make Bond more hardcore and 80s action-y, even though it wasn't the 80s anymore. And it works better now, I think, than when I was in the theater hoping for all the Bondy Bond stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good little action movie, just happens to have James Bond in
my mom... That, you gotta rewatch this, it's not very good. My mom, the closest my mom ever came to telling me I sounded like a fucking idiot, was about that movie, like, yeah, and this one, James Bond gets his license to kill revoked. That's just, no. not realizing at the time, like, no, that's what double O means and blah, blah, blah. She's like, that's stupid, Jim. Don't be stupid. And it really is not terribly good. I mean, that's the one that had Wayne Newton in it, right? I think. And brought back Felix Unger as a 90-year-old marrying Chrissy's cousin.
That gets eaten by sharks or something.
And Benicio Del Toro makes a subtle rape joke and...
Right.
And then gets ground up by the cocaine machine.
Right, cocaine machines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Ghostbusters 2, I've seen bits and pieces and did not care for that film at all.
It has its moments.
Uh-huh.
Top of it being, oh, I know, he's experiencing Carpathian kitten loss. He misses his kitten. We'll just put one in there. No, no, you will not be doing it, please. It has its moments. Tip top of it also being their cooler uniforms.
Oh yeah, that's the that's what kills in it.
But no, it's not quite as good at all.
Karate Kid 3
and old
where the I'm gonna leave my multi-billion-dollar toxic poison hiding business.
It really is
to come and get revenge for you.
They knew what had happened. They had figured out the flaws from Karate Kid 1.
Uh-huh.
They realized Karate Kid 2 was a mess, and they said, "Okay, Cobra Kai fans, you can have him."
Yeah,
because he's a total unrepentant jerk. Daniel is a complete jerk in the movie.
Yeah, he is
complete jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad guys are really bad.
Yeah,
and the main bad guy is twirling a mustache about 4 foot wide.
Wah!
Wah! Wah! Oh, man! When they both come out and laugh at him, Kreese and Terry Silver, my friend Mark and I have probably watched scenes in that movie longer than the movie itself. Right. Just rewinding, rewinding, rewinding. Wah! Oh, it's just so great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Not a good movie.
No, no, no.
Oh,
no,
it's terrible.
But
and they didn't even give him a hot
of LaRusso is just delicious.
And they finally said, we're not even going to give you a hot chick in this one.
No, she's not even
broad,
and she's not an asexual entity.
Yeah, and she, and there's no sexual chemistry.
You are here to get screamed at by Daniel with about the trees.
Yeah. And Star Trek V, which was what? That was fucking back in
the
time.
The Quest for Time Whale.
No, I don't think that's a time whale. I think that's the one where they meet God.
Oh. Yeah.
And yeah, I just said that's the one where Kirk meets God.
The being pretending to be God.
Yes, because the guy who played Dr. X in the videos from Operation Mindcrime was Spock's brother
who had feelings.
Yeah. Something
that movie
like
wasn't
that.
Very good.
And as odd as what we're saying is right now, it's about as clear as you can get. Bones lets his father die, and they literally and they found a cure 8 minutes later. Well, bet you feel like quite the dick.
Oh, that's some.
Unfortunate.
Andorian egg on your face.
Oh, sweet, sweet, sweet. License to Kill, not very good, really. It's not. I mean, he pops a wheelie in an 18-wheeler.
That's not helping your case at all. That's awesome.
Yeah, you're hurting. I just realized as I said that. Know your audience, Dirks.
Jeez.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch.
That was decent. I mean, it had some violent killing in that shit.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, dude. Like, this dude gets stabbed to death. Like, Hooch's owner gets murdered.
By dogs?
No.
Stabbing dogs?
Some guy who grabs him behind and stabs him through the lungs so that he can't even scream.
Oh.
And then is left to die next to Hooch. And then Hooch dies. I'm ruining that one for you. Hooch dies.
Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Hooch dies.
Does he get stabbed?
No, he gets shot.
By the guy?
Yeah, I think so. And then Tom Hanks holds him in his arms. No! Dog! Which, I mean, I'm sorry, I have a problem with a dog getting killed. You know, it's like, shoot the cat in Boondock Saints. What?
That's
probably
funny,
needed
yeah,
it. But this, no, that's not going to happen. And then The Abyss, which I've only seen once, but that was sort of just technologically, huh?
Oh, yeah.
It's weird when a director takes one of their obsessions and forms movies around it. Like, he is so into the underwater diving shit. Like, it's like a Life Aquatic. I really like Jack Cousteau, so we're going to fucking do this.
Right.
Whatever, man. So, yeah, there's that stuff happened. It was cool. Oh, yeah, and Casualties of War, which I didn't really watch because I know it's got the most disturbing premise ever. And I don't need that in my life.
I remember seeing parts of it. And, like, really bad, the bad parts.
Yeah, we're going to requisition a girl.
Wait a minute. That's not good.
Yeah, that's not. I'm not cool with that, Spicoli.
No.
Don't do that. That's bad.
No.
Not to oversimplify shit, but that's bad, man. Well, we are now from that actually jumping right into the areas where we met each other, which means I think this might be a good time to break part one and get ready for the next part, which will focus on the 1990s. So, I think that's pretty... That's pretty much covered.
Summer's End.
Whoa.
Well, so far.
So, yeah. We're probably actually going to end up doing 90 to 2000 and then 2000 on. That seems to be a good way to do it. So, basically what
everything gets less cool from now on. Yeah,
from this, what we saw was from the invention of it to the inception. I mean, Batman's the perfect place to stop because that is the changing point. That's the tipping point where it's about the toys and...
Everything else but the movie just happened to be the movie worked out to be okay.
Exactly. Yeah, well, the movie ends up being a marketing ploy for all this other shit.
Right.
So, So we're going to leave you with that and join us next time for our continued delving into the heart of summer.
Right.
Ah, how's that? The dirty black summer.
The horror of summer.
Oh, yeah. So, see ya. See ya.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the first part of our journey into the heart of summer, Dirty Black Summer. It's ending up being three parts, it looks like. So next one will be 90 through 2000. And then from there, whenever we get to it, it'll be, you know, finishing out the summer movie stuff. By way of wrap up, we began with the same clip that we always do. We end with the same clips we always do from Weeds and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. In the interim, I threw back on the bumper from the first time they ever played Star Wars on HBO. Little Dirty Black Summer by Danzig, and now we're wrapping it up with me first in the Gimme Gimme's version of Summertime. So hope you like it, and tune in for the next one. Actually, next one's probably going to be a Highlander commentary. Spoiler. Bye. Spread your wings, and you'll take the sky until that morning. Nothing can harm with mommy and daddy standing by. Hey! Oh, hush, little baby, don't you cry.
Please stay for the end credits. If you're wondering who the best boy is, it's someone's nephew. Don't forget to validate your parking. And for all of you good people in the Midwest, sorry we said fuck so much. Say goodnight.
Thanks again.
Now go. Vanish.
Did you fucking apologize? What's the matter with you?
Listen, thug means never having to say you're sorry.